One more item. Here's something a lot of us have in common. Broken appliances. Broken air conditioner. Broken down heating system. Broken down washer dryer. Broken down refrigerator. And if you're a homeowner, you know just how expensive it is to get one of those things fixed, let alone what happens if more than one appliance breaks down at the same time. Well, if you're a homeowner, you can get all of your appliances on a warranty plan that guarantees protection for all of your home appliances in case they break down. And best of all, it will only cost you about $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club at 800-264-3168, 800-264-3168. The call is free, and if you're one of the first 25 callers, your first month membership in the Home Service Club will also be free. Home Service Club, warranty plan, guarantees protection for all of your appliances for less than $1 a day. 800-264-3168, 800-264-3168.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Hi, this is Diane Baker, and you are listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson along with Tony Figueroa and our guests Ann Serling, Joseph Doherty, and Dan Farron. Ann is the author of As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling, an intimate portrait of the Emmy Award-winning creator of The Twilight Zone and Night Gallery. Ann Serling also serves on the board of directors of the Rod Serling Memorial Foundation, plus she is also involved with the Rod Serling School of Fine Arts Fifth Dimension program. Joseph Doherty, of course, is the Emmy Award-winning writer, director, and producer of such shows as 30-something, Saving Grace, and Pretty Little Liars, while Dan Farron is one of the producers of Story Salon. And we are talking about Ann's book, As I Knew Him, as well as our favorite episodes of The Twilight Zone and Night Gallery. Joe?
It's interesting. I mean, the idea that there's a generation, at least a generation of writers my age, basically, and I've talked about this basically, our first awareness of there being a thing called a writer was your father, as the man who introduced these stories. Do writers come up to you, and do they come up to you and tell you how important your dad was to them?
You know, that's been pretty amazing, because since I've written my book, I've heard from a lot of people, and a lot of them are writers, and they say that to me, that they became writers because they were so touched by what my dad was doing. And my father would be so moved to hear that, and so humbled, because he really, I think, didn't believe that his quote was, he didn't think his writing would stand the test of time. And it certainly has, I think, and I'm not the first to say this, I think, you know, in part, in great part, because he dealt with social and moral issues that are still so sadly relevant still today, like prejudice and scapegoating and all of that.
I think he represents this incredible mixture of stand-up ethics and a tremendous level of craft that he learned because he was writing so much, which is the two-edged sort of television. You write so much.
My nephew was born and raised in Puerto Rico. He spent a summer with his father in Chicago, and one 4th of July, they had no plans. He was channel surfing, and there was a Twilight Zone marathon on Sci-Fi, and he did not move from that spot for the rest of the 4th of July. He had never seen these shows before. And I think, you know, certain bean counters and executives would have said, well, somebody his age, who was 18, You know, they don't want to see something that was done before he was born. They certainly don't want to see something in black and white. And he did not move from that spot. And my brother joined him and gave him a little background on Rod Serling and, you know, kind of filled in some of the pieces that an 18-year-old might not comprehend what was going on. But just the fact that there was, you know, commentary and there were things that were said and some were funny and some were a little bit more tragic. But he did not want to move from that spot. He thought this was the coolest thing in the world.
That's great.
I think he watched the at least during the bulk of the marathon as soon as he discovered it.
Yeah. And if you start there as a writer and you learn that, basically, it's like, I know that's what led me back to his Playhouse 90 scripts. And some things, I mean, like, I'm a big fan of the Velvet Alley.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful.
I think one of the greatest tributes, Anne, that can be paid to your father is oftentimes when people are explaining a certain type of story, they say it's kind of like a Rod Serling story. And I think it got to the point where his writing was on such a level that some people find it easier, instead of trying to describe the genre or whatever, attach your dad's name to it.
And no one would have been more surprised to hear that, I think, than my father.
I keep going back to, you know, one of the main reasons you wrote the book is to present your father as a person. Again, for people like us who study him, or you just eat the subject of the Twilight Zone up, mm-hmm. so to speak, you know, we just assume, you know, it was always a classic, it was always good, and that he sort of knew that he was onto something. But it is a very human reaction to not know or not be sure whether it's going to connect with people, because no one really knows.
Right. And I think a lot of writers are like that, you know, that they're insecure and, you know, is this going to be successful or is it not? Is it going to mean anything? I don't think he was unique in that at all.
And yet, even though, you know, he had those foibles that every writer lives through, I mean, he was a pretty well-rounded person, you know, but he wasn't, you know, clashing with network executives.
Which was pretty constant, I think.
Except when he was at the lake. You know, it's interesting. It's like you talk about this. There's more than one main character in a Twilight Zone story who talks about not being important. Who were, you know, it's Jack Klugman's character in Pip. It's the old professor in Changing of the Guard. There are people who, and I think, you know, this kind of runs through his work, is that I'm not sure if what I've done is going to last, but I have to keep doing the best thing I can do. Sometimes he was a little easier on his characters than he was on himself, I guess.
I think that's probably very true.
I think you can find that also when I started rewatching some of the Twilight Zones on that wonderful first DVD collection, where they would have your father speaking to the Sherman Oaks Experimental College or wherever it was out there. And he was quite open about, oh, God, that was awful. Could you believe that? You know, and I listened to it, and I keep wanting to yell at the TV and say, Rod, no, you're wrong. It's wonderful.
Very self-deprecating, for sure.
Very self-deprecating. Now, we kind of touched on this when Joe brought up Changing of the Guard, and that there are a lot of autobiographical elements, or at least he infused many of the scripts that he wrote with autobiographical elements. The line in Praise of Pip that we referenced earlier.
And the planes are always going to Syracuse and the buses are always leaving Binghamton.
Or even the fact that as dark as he could be, as cynical as he could be about human foibles, he was also an unapologetic sentimentalist, and he loved the spirit of the Christmas season. I mean, and he wrote about that many times, both for The Twilight Zone and in other things that he did.
He did, and he actually told a writing class that he had a propensity to write about nostalgic things, and certainly that's prevalent in, you know, Walking Distance, I think, you know, A Stop at Willoughby, and certainly in the Night Gallery episode, they're tearing down Tim Riley's bar, also very autobiographical. Yeah. In fact, the character in Tim Riley's bar even lives on Bennett Avenue, and that's where my dad grew up in Binghamton, New York, And the character was also a paratrooper in World War II. So there are a lot of similarities to his own life.
And my memory of reading that script is it's actually darker than the produced episode is as well.
They're tearing down Tim Riley's bar.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Although I would say it's a really lovely, lovely script.
Oh, it's beautiful, and I think that was another Emmy-winning script for him.
Yeah. I believe a lot of people, both just fans of Night Gallery in this case, or just critics. I mean, have to a person they consider Tim Riley's Bard to be among the very best things he ever wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Ann earlier before we called her. I had a chance to watch. I'd never seen the uncut version before, you know. Because I mean, the problem with we've done programs on Night Gallery. Problem with Night Gallery is, at least before it was released on DVD, it was almost always done in 30-minute segments. And Tim Riley, I believe, was a 45-minute script, so it got cut up a lot. So I had in syndication. So I had through Ann and my mutual friend Jim Benson, I had a chance to watch the original uncut print, and it holds up. It still holds like virtually everything Rod Serling writes. It holds up.
Well, it's also you kind of have to remember the kind of how foolish television looked around those things. And there you've got a show that's doing Tim Riley's Bar or Secret Snow, Silent Snow, and yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the DVDs of Night Gallery. I'm told they're not the best transfers in the world, but it's a show that. I know it was a painful experience for your dad, and it continues to be a painful experience for us trying to watch it in an uncut form.
Yeah, that was... I didn't know the names of a lot of people that my father was working with, but I vividly remember him saying the producer of Night Gallery, Jack Laird's name, and I wrote it in the book, through my dad's gritted teeth, because it really, literally pissed him off that, you know, he wanted to write a show that made comment on something and was meaningful, and Jack Laird turned it into this sort of this horror circus, and not at all what my dad was trying to say. Of course, he didn't have creative control over Night Gallery as he did with Twilight Zone.
But there are still the Twilight Zone basically is this incredibly rich garden. But Night Gallery, sometimes you kind of have to look for the gems. But there's Messiah on Mott Street. There are these pieces in there. They're just sometimes they're not surrounded by. Yeah, they're not set as well as the as
and
the
Twilight Zone. I think one of the wonderful things about just everything your dad did, but especially the Tim Riley Bar episode, is I saw it as a teenager when it first came out, and I said this is really really good. And then when I turned 50, I saw it again, and I said, oh, my God, I get this.
Yeah.
I really, really get this. I mean, and the fact that something like that can stand that test of time is absolutely amazing and is a great credit to your father.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I'm a little biased, but
we don't think it's we're all pretty biased.
One more item. Here's something a lot of us have in common. Broken appliances. Broken air conditioner, broken down heating system, broken down washer dryer, broken down refrigerator. And if you're a homeowner, you know just how expensive it is to get one of those things fixed, let alone what happens if more than one appliance breaks down at the same time. Well, if you're a homeowner, you can get all of your appliances on a warranty plan that guarantees protection for all of your home appliances in case they break down. And best of all, it will only cost you about $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club at 800-264-3168, 800-264-3168. The call is free, and if you're one of the first 25 callers, your first month membership in the Home Service Club will also be free. Home Service Club, warranty plan, guarantees protection for all of your appliances for less than $1 a day. 800-264-3168. 800-264-3168. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV
TV Confidential or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.